My first presenters are doing a, it's called Developing a Community Collaborative to Address our Increasing African-American Infant Mortality Rate. This will be done by Ms. Elena Spate. Okay, Ms. Spate has a BS in Healthcare Management. She retired after 33 years from service from the City and County of Denver and the Denver Health Medical Center. She currently works as a guest teacher for Denver Public Schools. She's a mother of two, a grandmother of seven, and a great-grandmother of four. And additionally, she serves as a volunteer with the Aurora Healthy Babies Collaborative and was a member of the National Partnership to Eliminate Disparities in Infant Mortality, as well as the Action Learning Collaborative Leadership Team. She is a member, she is a board member of the Northwest Women's Center, Northeast Women's Center. She's a grandmother. And serves as the program service chair for the Colorado chapter of the March of Dimes and a liaison for the Center for African American Health and a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Her co-presenter is Ms. Rita Beam. Ms. Beam is a nurse manager at the Tri-City County Health Department, and believe it or not, she has been a maternal child health nurse for 38 years, and she's the co-lead for the Aurora's Healthy Baby Collaborative. Let's give them a round of applause.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear me. This weather changed and so did my voice, and I caught a cold over the weekend trying to hang out with you guys. So I'd like to begin with a quote from the documentary, When the Bow Breaks, from Unnatural Causes. The number of infants who die before their first birthday is much higher in the United States than other countries. And for African Americans, the rate is nearly twice as high as for white Americans. Even well-educated black women have birth outcomes worse than white women who have finished high school. Why is that? Rita and I will briefly share our experience developing the Aurora Healthier Beginnings Community Collaborative to address the why. The infant mortality rate in our African American community in Aurora, Colorado. Since I was told I have to do this disclosure, neither Rita or myself have any personal financial relationships or commercial interests related to this presentation. The health disparity in our community mirrors that of many African American black communities nationwide. The infant mortality rate is significantly higher compared to the infant mortality rate in other racial and ethnic groups within Aurora and throughout Colorado. The late 2005 and early 2006, the Aurora Healthy Start Program Evaluator brought concerning statistics to the attention of our program coordinator and community consortium. It was not the first time that the infant mortality rate in the African American black community had been a focus for this community and local public health. An oversampling of the pregnancy risk monitoring system had been conducted previously in Aurora with a focus on the African American population in 2000-2001. But the rate was not improving, and in fact, it was getting worse. The next steps were taken to create an approach and to determine that this issue should be a local action plan for the Aurora Healthy Start program. And I'll turn it over to Rita.
So as we started our work, a small group of health professionals from local and state public health agencies, the Colorado chapter of the March of Dimes, and the Aurora Healthy Start program were convened to identify a community action plan. We researched the efficacy of a community collaborative, explored local resources and funding, and started to develop key partnerships to develop the collaborative. Before beginning the recruitment of members, however, we conducted a needs assessment by interviewing key community leaders to ask them if they were aware of the health disparity and what they thought were contributing factors. It was important to share the data that was available at that time and to educate them about the impact of the health issue. So following these steps, we reviewed the demographics and identified our target population. We further examined the results of that 2001 oversampling of PRAMS data and the overall infant mortality rate for Arapahoe County. And Arapahoe County is where the city of Aurora is located. We did not at that time have any infant mortality rate established at all at the city level. And Aurora is a medium-sized urban city with approximately 350,000 residents and about 14% are African American. We knew that the statistics that we had were enough to begin our work, but we needed to conduct a better analysis to guide and focus our efforts with this complex health disparity. So, actually, I can go to the next slide. So in June of 2000, we convened the first collaborative meeting of the Aurora Healthier Beginnings. Over the course of the next 2 years, stronger partnerships were established between the Healthy Start Program, the March of Dimes, and Tri-County Health Department. One of the most difficult tasks with a community collaborative is to really establish a committed core of members who are able to provide consistent leadership. It's an important factor when setting up a community collaborative, and it takes time and it takes patience. Recruitment is an ongoing effort, but critical to the success of our collaborative. Our goal is to increase the awareness and the engagement of the community to sustain the work and to assure program outcomes, which is essentially to improve the infant mortality rate in this community. These are some of the highlights of the accomplishments to date. And before we conclude, Elena will talk more about our National Action Learning Collaborative that we participated in. We've really had minimal funding, but we have been able to establish a website in order to communicate our work and to really increase public awareness. Through the strong advocacy on the part of a previous Aurora City Council member, Deborah Wallace, who was a member of our collaborative, the city established an official partnership with our initiative. And even though this hasn't provided any financial support, it has given us access to the many partnerships that the city already has established, such as their nationally recognized youth initiative and strong relationships in the faith-based community. And next I'll provide a very brief overview of the perinatal periods of risk analysis, or what's called PPOR, that has been completed in order to really focus our efforts on this health disparity. So what is PPOR? This analysis was really critical to the work because the community collaboratives, as Elena alluded to, needed more information about the impact of this issue and also needed to be able to understand more about the why their babies were dying at an increased rate. So PPOR is a relatively simple analytic framework and steps for investigating fetal infant mortality at the local level. It's an epidemiological tool which is used as a part of a larger urban health planning process, and it's a community tool to improve the health of women and infants. PPOR was developed in the late 1990s by CityMatch, which is the national organization for urban and maternal child health leaders, and by a collaborative of cities. It was based on a technique developed by the World Health Organization for use in developing countries. It's now been used in over 100 communities to help identify and address infant mortality problems. So what's new about PPOR analytic methods? The PPOR analytic approach builds on traditional MCH epidemiological methods, adding important new information. For the U.S., the suggested reference group is infants and fetuses born to non-Hispanic white mothers of 20 or more years of age, having 13 or more years of education. This group usually represents more than 15% of the population and has optimal birth outcomes in most U.S. cities. And it was the reference group that was used for our PPOR process. There is nothing new about dividing the age of deaths into periods. The risk factors that affect infants in the neonatal period are obviously different than those that affect infants in the postnatal period. Fetal deaths share some of these risk factors, but also have some unique factors as well. Thus, this dimension, age at death, is important because different problems occur at different developmental stages due to differing risk factors. Specific interventions have been developed to address these differing windows of opportunities during pregnancy. Therefore, a high infant mortality rate at a specific time period may reflect an opportunity for an intervention. Additionally, the second dimension of birth weight is also important, as we've found that causes of death and preventative actions for babies born below 1,500 grams or 3.3 pounds tend to be different than those for babies born above 1,500 grams or 3.3 pounds. So the 1,500 gram is used as a limit for PPOR. Additionally, babies that are 500 grams to 1,499 grams are considered to be very low birth weight. And also, fetal deaths under 500 grams are excluded due to inconsistent reporting and missing data. So you're basically, it sounds rather crude, but you're basically sorting the fetal and infant deaths into four periods as defined by their age at death and birth weight. So there's two phases to the PPOR process. The first phase identifies the population at risk and the periods with excess mortality. The second phase explains the possibility of why excess deaths occurred and directs more prevention efforts. The results of the phase one analysis in Aurora supports that the fetal infant mortality rate continues to persist within our Black community in Aurora. And the majority of excess mortality occurred in two PPOR categories. And this really helps us again to focus our work. The majority of excess deaths occurred in two PPOR categories. The maternal health and prematurity were 60% of the deaths occurred, and the infant care category where 36% occurred. So this is important when you're dealing with the complex health disparity that has a multifactorial cause and has risk factors that vary greatly from community to community. Therefore, our current work is focused engaging our local healthcare system and providers about the importance of preconception and interconception care, which will help us focus on that 60% category of deaths. We were fortunate enough to actually partner with another program, Healthy Women, Healthy Baby, that was formed here in Colorado to improve birth outcomes kind of overall. And then the preconception task force of that group actually just developed and released clinical guidelines for preconception and interconception care. So our first steps that we're taking are actually to help private practices that care for women, both women with women's health care and pregnancy, to integrate those practices, those clinical guidelines into their practice, And we will also then eventually focus on improving infant care risk factors, such as promoting safe sleep practices or reducing accidental injuries. And we're really in the process of completing that phase two phase, where we will learn a little bit more about the contributing factors as well. So, but regardless of exactly what the statistics say about this health issue, we must remember that the death of any one baby is statistically significant to both families and community. So these are some of the lessons that that we've learned that others should consider when they're developing a community collaborative. It's difficult to maintain consistent work effort without having a champion or a coordinator from our community. The collaborative members almost all work separate jobs and have competing work responsibilities. It's also important to establish those specific roles for members to continue to give them a feeling of purpose and value to the program. And it's sometimes difficult with competing priorities and funding issues to have the support of our state health department. However, much of our funding has come from our maternal child health state health funding, the March of Dimes, our Tri-County Health Department, and local Healthy Start. Furthermore, the involvement of the political leader in the community has been critical to our success and the ability to move forward, especially with the lack of any stable or adequate funding. And finally, it's really imperative to continue building relationships within the community with those that have similar goals or who would really benefit from having an improved infant mortality rate. And this includes both our faith-based community as well as economic stakeholders in the community. Because as we know, increased cost of health care is really impacting our community at all levels. Additionally, we know that we need to have more qualitative data from our community about what they know about this health disparity and how we can really assist them to address it in the most effective ways. We need to use more social marketing tools to reach our target population and engage them in finding solutions. Finally, we need more funding for staffing, research, outreach, and development and evaluation. Securing funding in this tight economic time, as many of you know, is really challenging, but I think we need to be more creative, and we also need to partner more with our academic partners in the community. Now I'll turn it back over to Eleanor, who'll tell you about the national program we were selected to participate in.
Okay, in 2008, we were notified of an opportunity to apply to participate in a national effort to advance the work of the communities focusing in on health disparities. Three national organizations, City Match, Association of Maternal Child Health Programs, and National Healthy Start, which was funded through the Kellogg Foundation, sponsored six communities to participate in an 18-month action learning collaborative. Through this, we were met in October. The Roar Healthy Beginnings Collaborative was chosen to participate, forming a six-member leadership team. In November, we traveled to the first meeting and joined five other teams in Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown. We found that this was an extremely valuable experience that provided our collaborative with a deepening awareness of the impact of racism, stress-related psychosocial factors, and medical risks that impact infant mortality in our community. Over those 18 months, we attended two conferences and had teleconferences, and we learned a great deal that helped learning from the other teams. The vision The vision and the mission statement established by this national partnership will continue to engage the communities around the country to address the complex of health disparity. We thank you for this opportunity to share what we in Colorado have learned and for the things that we have learned which affect the inequality and the effect of the infant mortality rate in the African American community and in our families. I would like to close with a quote. Some of you probably went to the museum the other day. Dr. Justina Ford was the first black woman doctor in Colorado. She settled in Denver in 1902 and delivered over 7,000 babies of all varied ethnic backgrounds. And Dr. Ford was a true humanitarian who brought social justice to our community. 4 months before her death, she is quoted as saying, "When all the fears, hate, and even some deaths is over, we will really be brothers as God intended us to be in this land. This I believe, for this is what I have worked all my life." So it is our sincere hope that we are continuing to work for social justice and equality of care. Thank you.